right into it. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11. Be seated. Be seated. Okay. Be seated. Let's go. Let's get right into it this morning. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I mentioned yesterday, by the way, I want to thank Dr. Wilkerson, Dr. Douglas, Dr. Young for the invitation, your hospitality, and it has just been a blessing these last couple of days to be here and to see all that the Lord is doing. I was privileged and thrilled to be able to bring our youngest son, Daniel, with us. And he has certainly enjoyed seeing the college, seeing the ministry, and being involved in all that we've seen and done these last couple of days. I mentioned yesterday in chapel that your relationships during your college years are some things that you'll treasure for the rest of your ministries, and there's really no telling where you'll cross paths, how those relationships will benefit you down the road. I mentioned yesterday that our Spanish pastor at our church was a bus worker on our bus route back in the early days, back in the 91, 92 years. And another one of those is Pastor Dave Baker. And we were in college together. We actually went to high school together, believe it or not. I can tell you some stories about him if you want to know after the service. But when we left the church we served for 8 years in California to go begin Lighthouse Baptist Church, we had to work a job and really had no money or no support. And there were just four or five guys that we talked to that helped us financially a little bit in those early days, and Brother Dave was one of those, and certainly appreciate the investment that they made in us and our church, and it was those relationships. So be good to one another here in college, and you don't know one day who might be the pastor that you work for, or who might be someone that you have ministry together, and so make sure that you do that. Mark chapter 11 this morning. We'll get right into the message. The events in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, are the triumphal entry of our Savior into Jerusalem. This is the week leading up to his crucifixion and resurrection and later ascension. And we see him presented as king to the nation of Israel. And a lot of meat, a lot of good things in there. But I want to begin in verse number 12, if you would. In fact, let's stand together as we read God's Word. I'll read the verses 12, 13, and 14, and you follow along, then we'll be seated. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And I want you to notice that little phrase there. Nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Father, bless the message now. Bless the student body. Help us, Lord, through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You can sense a little disappointment in the Lord in the fact that there was no fruit on this particular tree. And really, the rest of the chapter in the context is a lesson stemming from that observation of a tree that had healthy leaves, a tree that looked like a healthy fig tree that would bear fruit. And yet, as they got closer and under closer observation, there was no fruit. And so, by the way, that caused the Lord to proclaim that it would never bear fruit again. And to be sure, there is some value in a tree that has nice leaves. Certainly, there's value in the shade, in the heat of a summer sun. In just the next month or so, around here especially, what a beautiful time of year as the leaves change colors. And so there is some enjoyment of looking at the leaves and watching the leaves. But certainly the real value in any fruit-bearing tree has to be the fruit. It's not necessarily the leaves. If an orange tree produced oranges and had no leaves, it would still be a very valuable, sought-after tree. And so the Lord came to this fig tree expecting to see fruit, and yet the only thing there was leaves. Now, don't misunderstand. The Lord is not so petty and impatient that just because it had no fruit, he declared that it would never bear fruit. He's very patient and long-suffering with you and I. Matter of fact, there's another passage in Scripture in Luke 13 where the Bible talks about an owner that had a vineyard and had a certain fig tree that had not borne fruit in 3 years. In fact, I'll read it to you. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none." He said, "Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And so the Lord is very patient. He does not push us to the side when we're having a difficult time or a season of not bearing the kind of fruit that he expects us to, but he's patient with us. But there is a bigger lesson here for you and for I. The fact is, the Lord wants you and I to bear fruit. That's vitally important to him in our lives. He wants us to be fruitful, not just possess nice looking leaves. He wants there to be the real value in the believer. Leaves just simply aren't good enough. At some point, fruit has to become evident in our lives. We have fig trees in the South, and they are very prolific in their ability to produce fruit. Matter of fact, the kind of fig trees we have, you really don't have to do much to it, and they will produce bushel after bushel of figs. But this particular tree had nothing but leaves. By the way, at some point, you will graduate and you will enter ministry as your calling and as your vocation. I understand you're in ministry even now. That's one of the great things about Hiles Anderson College, is the opportunity to be in the ministry while you're training for ministry, and we certainly understand that. But there's going to come a day where you're going to join a church staff, or you're going to join a school staff. And can I encourage you, do not be that person that's all leaves and no fruit. Don't be that assistant pastor that has great looking leaves and everything looks just perfect from a distance, but the closer you become, you realize that there's no real fruit produced by that tree. Matter of fact, there's a lot of fluff in a lot of people's lives, but no fruit. There is a lot of style, but no substance. And I'm just saying, we should be much more concerned about the fruit that we produce in our lives than the leaves that are evident from afar. Sometimes younger folks who've grown up in this social media age, by way of your exposure, your upbringing, you have a little more concern about having flashy leaves than we are about bearing Christ-honoring fruit. I know a little bit about what I speak. We've had a couple grow up in our home, and we have in our church, we have a ton of young people in our ministry. We have a very dynamic college ministry to the University of South Alabama in our town, a Division I college, and we've got a very vibrant young couples class, several young couples classes, and so we've got a lot of young people in our church. And one thing I notice is that just naturally they're more inclined to be more concerned about the appearance of the leaves than they are about the fruit that's produced in their life. And so this morning, by the way, I want to say this. Ministries do not move forward and churches do not get built on flashy leaves alone. They're built and they move forward as people of God bring forth Christ-honoring fruit. Dedicated believers bring forth fruit. And so, besides, leaves are much easier to grow. They kind of just come naturally to any tree, whereas producing the life-giving fruit is a whole nother matter. Proverbs 11:30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And how important it is that you and I are a part of that process. We talk about genealogies and our physical family tree. Well, we ought to be much more concerned about our spiritual family tree as we lead folks to Christ out on the bus routes and lead folks to Christ out in our soul winning opportunities. And then that begins a wonderful, it's amazing. There's no telling where the branches of that tree will go when just one person gets saved. They might go and win their family to Christ and win others to Christ, and a great spiritual fruit-bearing tree begins because of one soul that gets saved. John 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And so there's no doubt about it, the Lord wants his children to be fruit-bearing trees, fruit-bearing Christians. He also expects the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And oh, this school year, may the dormitory, college life have the fruit of the Spirit evident as you interact with one another, as you minister together. But this tree had nothing but leaves. How disappointing. In fact, look back at Mark chapter 11 and look at verse 20, if you would. Look at verse number 20 there. They happened back by that next day, that same tree. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And then from verse 22 on, the Lord begins to teach the disciples a lesson bigger than just the fact that this tree now is dead, won't bear any more fruit. Now he's shifting to teach a lesson to you and I and the disciples on why some trees do bear fruit and why others are nothing but leaves. And so let's look there. Look at verse number 22. The first reason some Christians bear fruit and others don't is because, number one, they lack faith. Look at verse 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And if you're going to see God use you in great ways and bear fruit now and in the future ministry, you're going to have to step out by faith. Way too many Bible college graduates will play it safe. They'll kind of take a measurement of the direction the winds are blowing, and they'll be very careful and very cautious, never stepping out of their comfort zones. But America desperately needs families to go out into ministry, to launch out into ministry and step out by faith and bear fruit for the glory of God. We left college here in 1992, before all of you were born, except for the staff and faculty, to go to work for a graduate in Southern California in Moreno Valley. And we were thrilled. I was going to be my official role was the school principal. They had a little school there. I was going to be the youth pastor and then other duties as they came up. And we negotiated. Well, there's no negotiating when you're getting out of Bible college. You're going to pay me that? Great, I'm ready. Let's go. And we were ready to load up the truck. And the week before we left, I got a call from that pastor. And he said, "Brother Randy, we have had just some unexpected financial problems, and we're just not going to be able to bring you on full time. In fact, we're not going to be able to pay for you to move. We're not going to be able to do any of that. If you're still interested at all, we have a deacon that has a job business. He'd be happy to put you to work." And I told that pastor, I thought for just a moment. And you know, I did not base God's will and God's leading about ministry on how much we were going to get paid or on if we were going to get reimbursed for moving. I felt like it was God's will for us to go to that location and to work with that pastor and in that church. And I told him, you know, I think God will provide. I think God, this is God's will. We've prayed about it. We didn't make this decision lightly. And so we stepped out on faith. We had bought a mobile home when we moved to Hammond for $4,000, and we sold it for $4,000, and so we used that money to move. And you know, stepping out by faith, that's the thing about stepping out by faith. You have to step first and then see what the Lord is going to do. The Lord's not going to show you how it's all going to work out, and then you step out by faith. That's walking by sight, not by faith. And I'm afraid way too many believers, way too many preachers, way too many full-time servants are walking by sight and not by faith. You've got to believe that that's what the Lord has called you to do and step out, and then God begins to reveal what He had in mind all along. We loaded up the truck. We moved out to California. We got there, and He said, Randy, you'll never believe it. God's just done some things. We're going to be able to pay you after all. He reimbursed us for most of our moving expenses after all. And what a wonderful thing it is when you step out by faith. We left there after 8 years. God made it very clear that it was time for us to go start a church. And so we moved to Alabama with eight members there in the church, and really not any financial help at all as far as the church goes. We worked a full-time job. And I mentioned how several pastors helped us, and several pastors helped us financially. And God just opened doors. When you step out by faith, don't be one of those believers that has to see how all the dots connect and has to see all the way to the end of what the Lord has in store. Boy, pray about it and have some faith in God and step out and see what God will do. There's a second lesson from the Lord, and that's in verse 24. Look there. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The second lesson was a lack of prayer life causes Christians to be unfruitful. I want to say, if you have an unfruitful prayer life, you're going to have an unfruitful spiritual life and ministry life, because prayer is linked to fruit bearing. James tells us that you have not because you ask not. And then when we do ask, we still don't have it because we ask amiss. We're praying selfishly to fulfill our own lusts. And so it is vital that we have a healthy, vibrant prayer life. John said this in John 15:7. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so you cannot separate a healthy, fruit-bearing Christian and servant of God from having a healthy prayer life. Now's the time to develop that. Now, here in the ministry, here in Bible college, is the time to set time aside to make sure that you're spending time in your prayer closet alone with the Lord and developing that prayer life. Begin to ask God for some things. Begin now, even as a freshman, for God to begin to provide for you and begin to show you what He has in mind for your future, and begin to develop that healthy prayer life so that fruit can be born in your life. And then look at verse 25 there. He goes on to say that there, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And so here he changes into a lesson on forgiveness. And I want to say this, that a lack of forgiveness in your heart and in your life will absolutely hinder fruit from being born in your life and in your ministry. I want to say this too, there are a lot of hurts in this life. And if you spend any length of time in ministry, in any capacity, you will have opportunity after opportunity to get your feelings hurt. The Lord said in Matthew 18:3, offenses will come. They're just a part of this life. Just living in life and serving the Lord, even trying to minister to people. I want to say this, people are selfish and people have their own agendas and people will hurt you. The servant is no greater than his master, and they hurt the Lord and betrayed the Lord. They'll certainly do that. And here's the thing, don't let these hurts turn into bitterness. People will let you down, but don't let that offense, don't let that disappointment, don't let that hurt fester in your heart. Don't let it grow roots and become a bitter root in your heart. Don't let it stay there. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And I want to say, if you have any hurt in your past, if you have any hurt that you experienced during your college days, God has the grace that you need to deal with it and to get it out so that it does not hinder fruit being born in your life. He goes on to say, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Boy, you let bitterness develop in your heart. Not only is it going to hinder you in your life and in your future and in your ministry, but if you go into a marriage with bitterness in your heart, you're going to hinder your wife and that relationship, and you're going to hinder your future children in that relationship, and you're going to hinder any ministry that God allows you to be a part of and lead you to. Hey, bitter people are not fruit-bearing people. Bitter people only hinder the work of God and hurt other people. And so forgiveness is the key. You've got to just let it go. You've got to trust the Lord and just get beyond it. You've got to forgive even without being asked to forgive. Well, have the spirit the Lord did when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't understand. They didn't see. They didn't know what they were doing. And yet the Lord Jesus forgave them. And you and I must forgive as well. But then finally, go back to verse 20 of Mark chapter 11. And I want you to see there in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And lastly this morning, a lack of roots. A lack of depth in your spiritual life, a lack of digging down roots deep into the soil of the Word of God and in your private devotional life absolutely will cause a believer never to bear fruit. The roots bring the life-giving sap to the rest of the tree. And this is such a simple but spiritual principle. If you have no spiritual root, you will bear no spiritual fruit. Just think about that. No root, no fruit. If you're not seeing fruit in your life from time to time in a church setting as a pastor, you notice maybe an assistant or maybe a leader in the church that just absolutely is not bearing fruit. Whatever they try to do, it's just not bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is not evident in their life. And in every occasion, I'll sit down and try to begin to help them realize we've got to get some roots down. You've got to spend more time with the Lord. You've got to develop your spiritual health before fruit will come. The deeper the root, the greater the fruit. And here's the thing about roots. They aren't visible. Roots aren't visible. Roots are below the surface. And roots are one of the easiest things. You never see them. So you really don't know if they're there, how strong they are, and that's in our spiritual health and our Christian life. Those things that put the roots down are some of the easiest things to do without. They're some of the easiest things to fake. The person sitting next to you this morning does not know if you read your Bible this morning, if you spent time in prayer this morning. They do not know for sure necessarily how deep your spiritual roots go, because that's private. That's behind the scene. That's beneath the surface. But that's exactly what we need to work on and concentrate on in our life. In fact, I said that really you don't know whether someone has deep spiritual roots or not until you realize there's no fruit coming from that tree. Once there's no fruit coming from the tree or in the life or in the ministry, then you begin to realize, wow, I wonder if there is a root problem with the tree. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 37 and look at verse 31. And it's a reference to the nation of Israel, specifically the remnant and how God is going to regather and give them opportunity to blossom again and to bloom again. And he says there in verse 31 of Isaiah 37, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again," look at these next two phrases, "take root downward." Take root downward. We've got to send healthy, deep, spiritual roots downward. And then look at the last part of that verse, "and bear fruit upward." Fruit is the visible part of ministry. Fruit is the visible part. That's what people can see in your life. They can't see the roots, but if you notice the progression, the roots had to be sent downward first before the fruit would be evident and visible upward. And so I want to encourage you this morning, let's make sure we're putting our roots down. There's a lot of things in Bible college that's visible. There's a lot of the amount you had on your bus route, the different things that are visible, and there's nothing wrong with those things as long as it is being the evidence of healthy roots being put down in your life. And so roots are unseen, and so you have to plant yourself. You have to put roots down. Now turn to John chapter 12. That's the last spot we'll go to this morning. And I want to say this and wrap this up a little bit. You have to plant yourself in the will of God, and you have to die to self in order to bear much fruit. The Lord said, hey, you're going to be a tree that's all leaves and no fruit if you don't walk by faith, if you don't step out by faith. Trust the Lord. And if you don't develop a healthy prayer life, and if you don't put roots down, and certainly if you don't forgive, if you have bitterness in your heart, you can just forget ever having a fruitful, productive ministry in life. But then he said to have a long, fruitful ministry. Too many wash out of ministry. I don't know if they used to teach us in some of the preacher classes the three F's, fame, females, and finances. Will take a preacher out of the ministry. If he gets preoccupied with his reputation and wanting to have a name, or if he commits immorality, or if he embezzles the finances, God's people's money, those things can absolutely take you out of the ministry and if we're not careful. But you know, and those things happen on a regular basis, not in every circumstance of church all around. But can I tell you the real problem is not a problem with finances. It's not a problem with morality. It's not a problem necessarily with pride. The root of all of those is not having a dynamic relationship with Christ. We're not abiding in Him. Look at John 12. And look at verse 12 and verse 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth," what's those next two words? "Much fruit." You know, you can't just move around in ministry every two or three years and expect to bear fruit. When we went to the church in California, we fully expected to be there for life. I mentioned to Dr. Young, when we left to go as an assistant pastor, he was really the epitome in my mind of what an assistant pastor ought to be. Longevity, loyalty, faithfulness. And that's everything we were striving to be for the pastor for which we worked. but it became evident that God was moving us. And so we went to this location, to Mobile, Alabama, and we have every intention of being there for the rest of our lives. And we're beginning to see fruit. We're beginning to see the second generation. We now have kids in our Christian school whose parents graduated from our Christian school and now are serving in our church and are deacons and faithful servants in our church. And it's only as you plant yourself and you die to self that God begins to give that fruit. I've been in 34 years, have been in four churches. The church in which we got saved for 4 years, here at Bible College for 4 years, and then the church we served as assistant pastor for 8 years, and now for 17 years in October in Mobile. And I admire folks who have longevity. I admire Brother Baker for being well over 20 years in Columbia, Tennessee, trying to reach that area and produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the keys is to stay connected to Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without him, there's a whole lot of folks trying to do ministry without being connected to the life-giving source of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just will not work. I think spiritual burnout's a real thing. But I think the root of it is not being plugged into the power source of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trying to do it in our own strength and in our own ability, and the arm of flesh will always fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. And so I want to encourage you. Jesus desired to see fruit on this tree, but he saw nothing but leaves. Hey, may it never be said of you as a Hiles Anderson College student that, boy, he sure has, or she sure has pretty leaves, but I've never seen any fruit to go with those leaves. May it not be said they're all fluff and no fruit. May it never be said, boy, they've got great style, but there sure isn't much substance there. You know, I'd rather work on the fruit end of things and the root end of things and the substance end of things, and kind of let the Lord worry about the leaf end of things. Now, I want to say this. If you can put both together, I mean, if God's given you a tree with wonderful looking leaves and you can put deep roots down and God can give fruit through your life, that's even a better testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you this morning. Put down roots. Walk by faith. Develop a prayer life. Do not get bitter. Forgive those hurts that come into your life and develop a depth of root and connection with the Lord Jesus Christ this school year. Let's pray together. Father, we do ask you to bless the students.